tips it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Matteau swoops in to intercept. Matteau behind the net. Swings it in front. He's down! Matteau! The man Matteau! And the Rangers have one more held to climb, baby!
Curry, way down top. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 13 of the Agents of Field podcast. I am your host, Ryan Lessman. We are back after a one-week break. We are joined by two returning guests, Mr. Anthony and Mr. Jim. How are you both doing in your... Anthony, you're 2 weeks off, and Jim, you've had quite a few weeks off due to your busy schedule. How are you both doing?
Anthony, you can go first.
Can you just make me a co-host so you can stop saying returning guest? Just send the paperwork over. I'll have my people look at it. We'll figure this out.
Yeah, maybe if you didn't steal those seashells from me, then you know we wouldn't have this kind of issue. But it's fine.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Nobody it ever was does.
Got to watch alligator. Your six while at the seashore.
Yeah, right. So, Jim, I think we know how you're doing given your background and your jersey.
Like the Open said, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
We're taking
Jim,
it.
Jim is a happy man. Brian, who is not with us tonight, is also an extremely happy man. I'm sure he will brag about it endlessly next week. But taking his place tonight, we have a very, very good friend of mine for many years, Mr. Jake Pruitt. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well, Mr. Ryan Lessman. How you doing?
Doing great. You are going to hear me refer to Jake as Prue or Pruitt throughout the episode. I'm talking about Jake. So,
is that because it's his last name?
Yes, perfect.
I mean, exactly. That would make sense.
So yeah. I don't call either of you Laurie or Scrog, so I'm just making sure that we're all on the same page.
That has been my nickname for like 75% of my life, Laurie, so you're not wrong.
I used to be called, like, my English teacher used to call me Season Salt.
That's incredible. I love that.
That's impressive.
And would allude to your future career. So
you're a salty man, Ryan.
Yep. Pruitt, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your sports fandoms, what teams and or players you are a fan of?
Absolutely. I am a New England born and bred. So I am naturally a very easy to hate sports fan. My primary team is the Red Sox. My secondary team, I'd say, is the Patriots. The Bruins are fun to watch in the playoffs, and the Celtics were fun to watch in the playoffs until they absolutely blew it. generally, it's fun to be a New England sports fan. Every once in a while, it does hurt.
Yeah, and with the way the Bruins are looking right now, going for a rebuild, Patriots aren't what they were with Tom Brady. Red Sox are struggling to be 500. They're not in a great spot. Sorry to rub salt in the wound.
That's all right. I got to go to three different parades during college in about 4 years in Boston, so I'll take that over anything.
Did you go to the one in 2019?
Yeah. So I saw I think it was two Patriots parades and a Sox parade.
Did you go to the Stanley Cup parade?
I did not. I should have.
Oh, that's right. The Blues won. That's right.
Yeah. I forgot.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll take my three. That's fine.
My memory.
Yeah, Anthony has one. That's it in his entire life, so it's fine.
Oof.
Hey, right. Second best team in the NHL this year.
Sure, if you say so.
I have. That's
what I've heard.
So we are going to get right into the news. Naturally, given we had 2 weeks off, there is a lot of news. We're going to get this out of the way early. There was a couple bits of sad news in the world of sports in the past 2 weeks, starting off with Jalen Ferguson. He was a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. He passed away this past week at age 26. He was the 85th overall pick in 2019, and he holds the Football Bowl Series college football record with 45 career sacks at Louisiana Tech. Very, very young, only 3 years in the league. Terrible. It's terrible when this happens to anybody. There was no cause of death, so or no confirmed cause of death. So we just wanted to send condolences to him and the Ravens family, his family, and you know, it's just incredibly sad for someone who had a promising career ahead of him. And another young player passed away, Caleb Swanigan, former NBA first round pick, passed away at age 25. He was drafted by Portland in 26th overall in 2017, played for Portland on two separate occasions and the Sacramento Kings. And he played his college career, a very successful college career, at Purdue. So again, just want to send our condolences to his friends and family and, you know, Purdue and Portland Trailblazers organizations. Yeah.
Starting to show up on a high note, huh?
Yeah. Just want to, you know, get those things out of the way, send their condolences so that we can keep things positive. Cause we like to be positive here on Agents of Field, but we do want to, you know, update everybody on things that go down. So this past Thursday was the NBA draft. A bunch of young players were drafted into the league. Next week on Agents of Field, our podcast will be a thorough review into the NBA draft, as well as dive into free agency for the NBA. But now we're just going to update you on some of the big trades that went down in the NBA this past week. At the draft, the Grizzlies, Jim's employer, traded D'Anthony Melton to the 76ers for the 23rd overall pick in Thursday's draft and Danny Green. That seemed like just a move to send Danny Green the other way for cap reasons. Another cap move, definitely, by the Knicks. They traded, it was a three-team trade with the Hornets and the Knicks and the Pistons. They traded pick 13 and Kemba Walker to, like I said, the Pistons. And then a swap that got the Knicks a 2025 first-round pick and the Hornets got a 2023 first-round pick and four future second-round picks. That, coupled with another move they made today, helps them clear salary cap that they are planning to use to sign Jalen Brunson. That is the name that is out there for the Knicks from the Dallas Mavericks. Jim, what are your thoughts on that from the Knicks' perspective, clearing all this cap to sign a guy who's relatively unproven to a max deal?
Well, I mean, it's the Knicks. They'll make moves like this. I'm not quite sure exactly what they're thinking, but I mean, it's the Knicks. They usually do stuff like this. So I'm not entirely, I literally thought about it for 5 seconds. I'm like, okay, this sounds about right. Once every 2-3 years they do this. And I'm like, I guess it's just some ploy for cap space to get a supermax guy 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think clearing cap is great, but for this guy to be the target, Jalen Brunson, where I didn't even know about him until the playoffs this year, and like, not to say that I'm some super NBA fan, but like, I don't really think that he's the guy the Knicks should be going after. People are like, he'll be better than any player on the team. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, RJ Barrett had a really, really good year this year, despite the Knicks being trash, so... it's just interesting that the Knicks are giving up a lot of draft picks to clear cap to sign a guy that may or may not work. Prue, I see you shaking your head. Do you have any thoughts on clearing cap for that?
I just think it's I'm so thankful we live in a time with these salary caps. I think it leads to so many interesting trade moves and plays that we wouldn't see otherwise. Mm-hmm. Just like all of the random things involved with this trade, like we would simply wouldn't exist without it. So I'm thankful that despite them being difficult to work around sometimes for teams, it's fun to see it as a fan.
Yeah. And I'm going to thank you and the New England fan base for essentially ruining Kemba Walker before he came to New York, because once you got him, he really wasn't the player he was and he has never recovered. So
no. Happy to do it for you.
That's phenomenal. Detroit was very active in the trade market in the past couple of days. They made a trade with the Portland Trailblazers. They traded Jeremy Grant and pick 46 in Thursday's draft, second round pick. And they got back a pick number 36. So they move up 10 slots, a first in 2025 and second round picks in 2025 and 2026. Dallas made a big trade to get Christian Wood from the Rockets. He was one of the bright spots on a otherwise terrible Houston Rockets team. The Rockets got Trey Burke, Boban Marjanovic, Marquise Chris, Sterling Brown, and pick 26. So a lot of kind of cap dump moves. plus the 26th overall pick, which in that slot, you could get a pretty decent player. And then we had Wizards today traded Ish Smith and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope used to be a really, really good player before he had all his legal issues and then get traded to the Wizards, to the Nuggets for Will Barton and Monte Morris. I would really love to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope do some great things with the Nuggets because I was a fan of him in college.
Great player, Georgia.
Yeah, like he was one of the first college basketball players I ever really paid attention to. So that'd be really cool. The other move we talked about with the Knicks, they made another trade with the Pistons. They gave up Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, and 2 second-round picks. And they got back in return. Oh, plus $6 million cash. And they got back not a damn thing. So they paid to get rid of money, which blows my mind.
Again, which is what they do.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah. I should not be surprised, but it's the Knicks. We always say, you know, Mets are going to Met. The Knicks are going to Nick. So
the Mets are currently Metsing. So there you go. Yes,
they are.
What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. The final trade that happened was a trade that should make Jim very, very excited.
Yep.
The Hawks got Deontay Murray from the Spurs. They gave up Danilo Gallinari and 3 future first-round picks and a pick swap. Deontay Murray is a phenomenal player, an all-star. They're going to pair him with Trae Young. Jim, give us your real-time thoughts on the Hawks adding an all-star.
I love it. Actually, I was working, so I didn't really find out about it until like 2 hours after it happened because one of my buddies texted me. I guess he was working too. He's like, yo, look at this. So that was impressive. Yeah, we gave up a lot picks wise. And well, Gallinari wasn't that bad. I mean, I think he kind of had a bit of a revitalization of his career in Atlanta. But I'm looking at Murray's contract right here, and he's got what? 2 more years, and then he becomes unrestricted free agent. So I hope we might be able to lock him down, you know, at some point, because that is having him and Trae in the backcourt and not trading away John Collins current as of right now, as of this recording, John Collins is still a member of the Atlanta Hawks, regardless if you believe the media reports that he's unhappy or not. But right now, based on what we have, Murray, Trae, Collins, Capella, a bunch of young talent and Okongwu and some of the former draft picks from the last 2 years, like Travis Schlenk. He's one of my three favorite general managers at the moment. And we'll probably discuss the other two later on in the show.
Sounds about right. You know, the Atlanta sports blood runs through your veins, so I would imagine nothing less. Anyone else have any thoughts on this before we move on past the trades? All right. Awesome. So we're just going to mention it, even though we'll talk more in detail, like I said, next week. But the first overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft was Paolo Banchero from Duke University. He went to the Orlando Magic. He was projected by most as a top 3 pick, but most people had him around 3. And then about 30 minutes before the draft started, Adrian Wojnarowski dropped the tweet bomb that he was projected to be considered for the number one pick, and then about 30 seconds before the pick came out, he said he was going to be the pick. So he jumps up a couple spots. Really exciting for him. Played for Coach K in his last season at Duke, and now he's a number one overall pick. Jim, another, you know, big you're a college basketball guy. Sure. Thoughts on Paolo Banchero?
Not surprised at all. I think this is Duke's first round NBA draft in quite a while. So I'm sure, you know, Coach K is probably loving that, even though in his retirement, even though, let's be honest, he's not really retired, he'll find some way to take the spotlight. I like this move, and I hope that the foreign reporter who confused him for Patrick Mahomes at the Miami F1 race a few weeks ago, I hope he will always remember the name Paolo Banchero.
That was unbelievable that happened. He's like, Patrick, and he's like, I'm not Patrick. What? Like,
first off, I'm like 6'7". That should be your first tip.
Yeah. So, like I said, we'll talk more about that next week.
Not talking about how Adam Silver looks like Dean Pelton and Jeff Bezos had a love child.
That is absolutely valid.
Like, that's first off, community reference. So thank you. Thank you so much for that.
It is so true. Like, I was looking at him and he comes on the stage and he's got these big glasses that magnify his eyes. And
it's horrifying.
Like, it's something else. I mean, not that the guy before him, what was it, David Stern? Not that he was much better to look at. Like,
so the best part, his eyes are bigger than his ears.
The best part about David Stern's time, at least in my opinion, the best part of his time as commissioner was toward the end, especially his last draft. If you want to find that, YouTube it. Like, they're flat out booing him, and he is literally doing this, like Hogan style. Like, come on, bring it. I know he can be louder than that.
There, I saw a video, I think it was, you know, towards the end of his tenure as well, where he was meeting the entire draft class the day of the draft, and he's just like, oh yeah, okay. And then he goes back and he's like, wait, what's your name again? Like, he couldn't even remember the players' names. So yeah, he was getting a little too old for the job.
Man was far past his time at that point.
We're far beyond
the ability to do his job.
We're seeing a lot of that in the world of people being too old to do their jobs, huh? Not going to get into that, but
I just looked up David Stern. He looks like Bill Belichick before he went into the massage parlor.
I mean, he's also not with us anymore, but still, you know.
Anthony.
He looked like he was Bill Belichick before the massage
parlor. Speaking of an older dude in the NBA, Steve Clifford is back as the Hornets head coach. He left for a couple years. I think his last year was 2018 with the team. And, you know, he is now back after they went on a unsuccessful coach hunt for the last couple months. Mm-hmm. He gets to have a team full of young talent led by LaMelo Ball. And that's going to be very exciting for him. Hopefully that team has been kind of on the bubble of the playoffs, and hopefully he can get them over the hump and, you know, make some noise. So we are moving on. Jim, did you have something on that? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say it's funny because, you know, Michael Jordan assembled Mitch Kupchak. Well, I'm pretty sure he's had plenty of disagreements with, on top of his former college roommate and Tennessee basketball coaching legend, Buzz Peterson, bringing that buzz ball in Charlotte. So if anyone out there understands buzz ball and you're interested in that joke, I really, really appreciate it. I looked up on Clifford. I'm like, oh, Buzz Peterson's still there. Isn't that nice?
I don't know what that means, so I'm going to laugh.
And you don't know what a lot means.
Yeah.
If we could address one comment, Maya asked why I have a wig head on my shelf. And it's holding a signed helmet that I have.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's why I have
Who's on that helmet?
All right. David Perron, Jaden Schwartz, TJ Oshie, David Backus, Yaroslav Halak, Brian Elliott, Kevin Shattenkirk, Barrett Jackman, Ian Cole, Chris Russell, Scott Nickel, Vladimir Saboka, Wade Redden, and number 36 of the Blues from like 2017. I'll have to look that one up.
Was it Barrett Jackman or?
Barrett Jackman was number 5, and I already said it, Dingbat.
I at least want to point out some of those guys could easily sound like they're St. Louis Cardinals.
I also would like to point out that I don't think a single player on that helmet won the Stanley Cup with you. So,
how long did it take to get all those signatures?
That was in one day.
Stop.
What?
That was one day after practice. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, the Blues used to practice at a community rink at a mall, like 5 minutes from where I used to live. And I always have one day off during the week, so I would just go up there and then just hang out on like a Tuesday afternoon, and then they'd come by and then they'd sign.
That's incredible. We one time went down to see Sox spring training in Fort Lauderdale. And my older brother was watching some batting practice. David Ortiz hit some balls, walked over to the rack, grabbed his first baseman's mitt, threw it over the fence, landed in my older brother's hands. Some guy reached over him, grabbed it, ran the other direction.
Oh,
was that person Zach Hampel?
Might have been.
That's, man, great. That's so cool, but also so devastating at the same time.
So brutal.
Yeah, that's rough.
Piece of history, but only for 5 seconds. That was about it.
Yeah.
sounds about accurate for, you know, a either Florida person or a Sox fan. So
yeah. Or the scary overlap of those two things.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So
the center of that Venn diagram, scary.
Yeah, let's not even think about that because that's giving me nightmare fuel. Okay, so we are going to move on to the world of baseball. Angels Mariners game over the weekend, a big brawl erupted in the second inning, which led to eight people total, four from each team being ejected. Both managers were ejected, and then Julio Rodriguez, Jesse Winker, and J.P. Crawford from the Mariners were ejected, and Andrew Waka, Ryan Tepera, and Rafael Iglesias from the Angels were all ejected. Interesting story is that I think it was last year, this little girl, she was like 8 years old, went on a trip to see Joey Votto at whatever stadium she was at. I guess they were on a trip to California. And he got ejected from the game. So her favorite player she went there to see didn't play. Fast forward to this year, and she goes to a game to see her next favorite players, Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez, and Jesse Winker gets thrown out of the game. Like, I feel so bad for that little girl. Like, she's been through the ringer. It's just terrible. But anyone want to start on a 8-player ejection in a Angels-Mariners game?
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the John Boy breakdown of this,
it's fantastic.
Watch that. It's his magnum opus. It goes through every detail to the best level, and then come back to this.
Yeah.
So it was, am I included in that? Because I haven't seen that. So I'm going to dip out. I'll be back.
No.
I watched it today. It's 15 minutes. He said it took him like 10 to 12 hours to do the breakdown.
It's unbelievable.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, he goes through and basically he just follows Winker the whole time, and then he goes back and then he follows other people. But yeah, I mean, you know, nothing that isn't going to be said in the video, but these two teams have played each other like 8 times in the past like 13 days. So tensions were running high. You know, the night before you had somebody throw high and in on Mike Trout a handful of times, and he was kind of just like, all right, what's going on here? And, you know, he had some comments, and then the next game, Winker gets hit, just nailed. And then he starts running his mouth, and, you know, head coach of the Angels starts running his mouth at him, and just eruption. I mean, like, and this wasn't just, you know, your normal scrap. I mean, there were legit blows being thrown. I mean, just wailing on dudes' backs. And even Scott Servais, the head coach of the Mariners, he was like in the bottom of the dog pile at one point. And it's like, dude, you're an old man. What are you doing down there? Like, like, get up. Like, leave this to everybody else. But, you know, in that breakdown, it's funny because it shows, you know, Otani, you know, he runs out there and then he, like, grabs one guy who's, like, not even involved in it. And then somebody comes to get Otani and was like, get back. You don't need to be. We don't need you to get hurt. Archie Bradley, he fell out of the dugout on his way out there and fractured his elbow, so he's out for the foreseeable future. John Boy, he talks about it. He goes up, and then you got Bradley who takes a tumble. But at that point, the news hadn't come out that he had fractured his elbow, and it's just. It's just silly. You got Iglesias who got thrown out. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was trying to calm everybody down and break it up, and then he gets ejected. And then when he finds out he gets ejected, he loses his shit, launches a case of sunflower seeds at the umpires, and then you got guys out there just cleaning it up. I mean, it was just – it went on for a while. It wasn't your normal, you know, scrap. One thing I do always love and I think is so funny is when you have the bullpens clear out, but the bullpens are on the same side of the field. So then you have both teams running side by side, like almost ignoring each other till they get to the dog pile. But then, you know, any other stadium, like, you know, St. Louis, the bullpens are on opposite sides of the outfield. So they don't even interact until you get to the dog pile. But these guys are just running side by side like, hey, I'm going to grab you. You grab me. And we're just going to go off to the side because I don't want anything to do with this.
I mean, my favorite one is the interpreter. I don't know for which team, but he definitely got suspended, and that's just hilarious.
Yes.
Maya yeah. needs that case of sunflower seeds.
So, he went for the sunflower seeds, and then didn't he go back and then grab a case of gum as well to just increase the amount of shit on the field?
Yeah, I think I heard that.
I mean, at that point, get your money's worth.
Yeah.
At one point, you got Noah Syndergaard and his beautiful long locks of hair, and his shirt is pulled up over his head, and you can just see his hair coming down out of his shirt, and like he can't see where he's at or what he's doing. And then at one point, he like pulls his shirt back down. I mean, it's gold. It's a golden breakdown for sure. I mean, it's worth the 15 minutes. So everybody, after you're done watching us talk about nonsense, go check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of, you know, players that got hit with pitches, we talked about Mike Trout almost getting hit a couple times. Bryce Harper got hit by a pitch by Blake Snell, fractured his hand. And there was a video that came out afterwards of him being like, I know you didn't mean to do it. And he's like screaming at him as if he's so angry, but he's like, I know you didn't mean to do it. And then, oh my God, I just feel kind of bad for him. Like, that's not the break he needed. So yeah,
six of surgery, and then he's going to be out at least 6 weeks.
Yeah. At this point of the season for the Phillies, they really needed him. This is going to really affect their playoff run at this point.
Mm-hmm. At this point, they're just lucky to creep to 500 at the All-Star break.
Yeah. Which is tough to see.
Nah, yeah, I'm okay with it. The rest of who, like, they have Castellanos. What other bats do they have? Like Schwarber. Okay. Yeah. I forgot he ended up there. Yeah,
Schwarber and Castellanos were the two big bats they added on to go with Harper, but I need to know how many errors that team has this year, because it's got to be twice as many as they have home runs. The team defensively is awful.
Yeah. There was a reason why the Mets were the top of that division, but then the Mets are on a big slide right now. So,
yeah.
Not great.
The fact that the Mets have the best pitcher in baseball who hasn't pitched in the last year, just horrific. Mets gonna Mets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scherzer back yet?
Scherzer is not back yet.
No. I knew he had a rehab start where you could tell he's sitting in the dugout. I think it was Double A, and you could tell he's sitting in the dugout like, I don't want anyone to talk to me. Leave me alone. Like, he has that look of, I'm better than you. I know it. Don't talk to me. I don't want to be here. But
can you tell that by the two different color eyes? Do they you know, change even more colors?
Yes, they became the same color, and they both turn red.
like the Hulk.
Yes.
And speaking of the Mets, they had a scary incident in their game today. Two of the players on the Tigers, Pena and Alvarez, collided in the outfield in the top of the ninth. Bottom of the eighth, excuse me. They both hit their heads on each other's elbows/heads. Alvarez had to be carted off, and Pena left the game on his own strength. But they ended up still winning the game. Jason Castro hit a 2-run shot at the top of the ninth that just put the nail in the coffin for the Mets. But we just want to send well wishes to Alvarez and Pena, make sure they're okay. But I was watching that live because Justine was actually at the game today. So she was like, sent me a picture, like the cart was out there. I was like, we haven't even seen that on TV yet. So I turned the game on. I was like,
It's wild that still happens at this level. I mean, Little League games, high school, I can see it, you know. But to be in the majors and then still see that, I mean, center fielder takes precedent over anything. So,
yeah, but they said the Mets broadcast team was saying that to make matters even worse, Pena was in the shift. Like, he was supposed to be at shortstop. He was behind second base. So then he ran even further and I guess was just trying to make sure he got there. And, yeah, ouch. It was tough. But, again, just hope they're both okay. And then,
to your point though, it is pretty shocking. These are grown adults running directly into each other.
Yeah. And like, Alvarez is a huge dude. Like, he's not small. And seriously, he's the one who got the worst of it. So it's crazy that you, like you said, like two adults can still manage to do this. I mean, just, I don't know. I don't know a lot about baseball, but that was just shocking to see. The first baseball game I watch all year and two men running.
Stop watching it.
Yeah. I accidentally caught the no hitter the other day against the Yankees. Didn't mean to watch it. Just sort of popped up on my
TV. Against Houston?
Yeah.
That combined no-hitter?
Yeah.
That's not fair. Those don't count.
Yeah. Still exciting to watch.
Well, that happened to for the Mets a couple months ago, right? And that's when Syndergaard called out the Mets. They were like, that when his guy got the no-hitter,
right? No, this happened recently.
No, I know, but wasn't it a couple months ago that the Mets threw a combined no-hitter?
Yeah.
And then
Syndergaard was like, no.
And we talked about it then. It was like combined no-hitters don't count. But so, you know, now the Yankees have been no-hit and the Mets have caused somebody to be no-hit. So who's really the best team in baseball? Sorry about that anecdote. Anthony, you wanted to talk about Zach Greinke. I have no idea what the hell you want to talk about.
Dude is an absolute lunatic. Okay, so from my understanding, there was a high school team, middle school team. They were at the game, and a 16-year-old kid had a ball out, you know, had a pen out, had a ball out. And then Greinke was going to come over, and he was hoping he was going to sign it. Greinke took the ball, just yeeted it as far as he could. And then the kid goes, "What'd you do that for?" And then Greinke responded with, "For my amusement," and then walked away.
Whoa. That's uncalled for.
The dude is a crazy person. And
go ahead, Jim. No, I was going to say, apparently, like, this kid has not, I don't want to say pestered him by any means, but he's asked for his autograph before. So I don't know if Greinke recognized them, because I saw a Twitter thread. I'm trying to find it now just to confirm that, but the point still stands. You're right. Like, he is a crazy person. Like,
ignore the kid. I mean, and again, he might have been heckling them a little bit, but at the same time, man, you get paid so much money. Part of your job is to interact with the fans, or just don't interact with the fans. You didn't have to walk over there. You didn't even have to look at the kid. But then to put in the effort to go over there, take the ball, and then just launch it, and then say, "For my amusement," you're a serial killer.
Yeah. Like, what is the lesson we're teaching this child?
Zach Greinke knows what human flesh tastes like. I'm saying it right now. He's a psychopath.
I believe you. I mean, was he always like this when he was with the Diamondbacks and the Astros and the first time he was with the Royals?
Well, he's done some not weird stuff, but like, okay, two occasions that I can remember off the top of my head. One with the Astros, they were trying to fix the mound. And while they're trying to fix the mound, he just sits behind it, crosses his legs and just kind of rocks back and forth, just waiting for him to do it. Not even like stretching or talking with his teammates. He just sits there. I mean, listen, I'm very okay with someone just be like, "I'm just going to sit here and enjoy my time to myself." I do it all the time. Great. There's also another one during like the COVID year. I've lost all track of time at this point, with cutouts in the stands when he was playing with Houston. I think he was in Oakland. And he was a start, and instead of sitting in the dugout, he sat in the stands with the rest of the crowd, with his jacket on his arm, on his pitching arm, and everything.
Yeah, he's nuts, and I know he's had his spout with anxiety and depression, and that's been made apparent. But yeah, he's nuts. I mean, Joey Votto's had the same thing. You know, he's had anxiety, but he doesn't go and just pull crazy shit like that. So
yeah, he's got a pretty long track record of this at this point. There's like, you can go down a pretty serious YouTube rabbit hole of just stories and clips of him just being an absolute menace to society.
And a menace to society, hopefully he will be no more. I feel like after more and more comes out, less teams are going to want to take a chance on somebody who may eventually exchange blows with a fan, and they're not going to want to have that on their hands. So maybe he will be a menace to society less in the coming years. But we can hope.
Nuts.
So I'm going to post this comment. Brian wants to know who won the Stanley Cup. We get it, Brian. You won the Stanley Cup.
Brian, the correct answer is the Atlanta Thrashers. R.I.P.
The St. Louis Blues did in 2019.
The New York Rangers did in 1994 before I was alive.
A lot happened on that day in 1994. Great documentary, by the way.
Yeah. So
Can I bring up more crazy shit about Tommy Pham and Jack Peterson?
Yes, please. God.
Because it, at this point, it's just the story that continues. Okay, so apparently Pham claims that over 100 people have thanked him for slapping Jock Peterson. Ranging from players to coaches to reporters.
That's unbelievable.
Which is absolutely mind-boggling. I also heard that Peterson knew that this was possibly going to be an issue. And the last time that they were supposed to meet, he hung out in the clubhouse and didn't go out on the field because he had a feeling something was going to happen. So he basically dodged him. And then at this point, Pham was just like, all right, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And then just slapped a shit out of him.
Wow. I mean, like, he had his ring ceremony in Atlanta, and I guess like two of the Luke Jackson and one of the players were playing a trick on him or something like that. And so Jock Peterson just, you know, because he had the trophy right there next to him. So Peterson just like, all right, I'm just going to take this trophy instead, and almost walked off the field with a trophy, or at least motioned like he was going to.
Yeah, and it was apparently a $10,000 buy-in for this league.
Wow.
And Mike Trout is the commissioner of this league, correct? If I'm not mistaken. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, he can afford it. If anybody can afford it, Mike Trout can. So
yeah, I can't believe Tommy Pham can afford it, but but his eyes don't work very well, so maybe he thought it was only $1,000. Who knows?
Or he thought it was $100,000. He's like, oh, I'm gonna win big. I'm so good at fantasy football. Yeah. Baseball players are unhinged this season, man.
You got that right. I mean, with all the ball changes, everything else going on as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been so much evidence that the balls are slick. Literally pitchers are screaming. Like, there was a pitcher, I don't know who it was. He kept getting balls from the umpire, and he'd just look at it, he'd throw it off. Get another one, throw it off. He did like five or six. And he goes, none of these are scuffed up. Like, they were just brand new, just slick. Like, people are obviously getting hurt. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you. When was the last time you saw this many people get hit in the head, for God's sakes?
No.
Yeah. Between that, I've heard there's like different significant changes in just the material and the weight and all those different things between just different games. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's an inconsistency in manufacturing or whatnot, but it's definitely there. And there's a lot of players talking about it. So it's going to be very interesting as it goes.
I guess Tom Brady's in charge of all the baseballs then, huh?
Tough.
So we are going to move on to our last bit of baseball news. Freddie Freeman returned to Atlanta for the first time as a Dodger this past week. He was given his World Series ring, and you know, there was some emotions. And it turns out that he found out from teammates in the clubhouse that his agent never gave him the last offer that Atlanta had put on the table, because he wanted him to basically chase the money. And then that's what led to him going to LA. Jim, you are obviously our resident Atlanta sports fan. Fill in the details that I'm missing, please.
Oh, there are so many. Okay, so let's get in the DeLorean, go back to the press conference on Friday. Around 3:30, that's when Freddie walks into the press room at Truist Park. He's emotional. He literally sits down, is crying, and walks out. He's like, I can't do this. Give me a second. Comes back. He has another. He finishes the press conference. He's crying. He's crying. He gets honored later, and then there are some shots from that series where he is. I don't know if it's just a matter of circumstance at that time. It might be out of context. But there's a couple of shots on camera and just photographs in general where Freddie Freeman does not look happy. Probably it was a lot of the emotion of being back for with a new team and all that. I'll give you that. Now, then a few days later, Buster Olney drops news that he's going to fire his agent and has, continued and will represent himself. I'll get back to that here in a second. And then today, Doug Gottlieb, of all people, who I have no idea how much of a baseball insider Doug Gottlieb is, but he drops on Twitter what Ryan said, Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer. That's why Freeman fired him. He found out in Atlanta this weekend. So let me go back. I'm putting the pieces together here. I think he found out before that press conference that about everything that went down. Because the week of that he signed the deal with the Dodgers, he had like a 3-hour FaceTime call with Double A. That's Alex Anthopoulos. That's what we call him in Atlanta, Double A. So, and here's my cat right here. So putting all these pieces together, talking with people that I know kind of close with the organization and the team and all that, I think that that's probably what happened. He found out from Pete, he found out about what really happened with his agent before the press conference. That's why he was emotional. And in my opinion, bye cat. And in my opinion, I'm trying not to put the Braves color glasses on. I think he will be an Atlanta Brave in 3 years.
Interesting. Wow.
Okay.
Does he have an opt-out?
That part I'm not quite sure. I need to figure out the details of it. But... what were you going to say?
Nothing.
I think in 3 years, that's like I said, I'm a fan here, but I think he will be a Brave in the next 3 years. You know, if money is an issue, I understand why. Currently, very similar to what the setup is in St. Louis. The Braves have the battery there at Truist Park. A lot of money is coming in. And starting in 2023, the TV deal, which was famously bad, horrendous even for about a decade, the money per year is getting better to the point, I think, between 2023 and 2027, which 2027 might be the last year of the deal, it'll be between $100 million and $120 million per year. So my entire rant of all this, I think the Braves will have enough money and possibly the pieces to get Freddie Freeman back within 3 years.
That's a bold statement.
I
hope it happens.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, if you're out there asking, well, you already have Matt Olson, you know, why do you need the first baseman? It's called a designated hitter. You basically have Olson first base. Hell, you could even swap Freddie out for first base if you want. Put Olson and give him in DH, or even you'll have someone else have a day off. I truly think that because Freddie's self-representing himself. You only self-represent yourself, Brian. You see, Brian, I don't see an opt out in 2028. I think a deal will be made before then, well before then. If you're self-representing yourself currently after you've signed a big money contract,
buy out or trade or something. Yeah,
that might lead me to believe either trade me after a certain time, because I know like he had a comment about, you know, I'm sorry, Clayton Kershaw made a comment about, oh, we're just playing second fiddle here. And according to, you know, some sources, they've kind of hash that out, clear that up. I didn't necessarily think that was malicious, but I mean, you know, if you're a human being, you can tell how Gottlieb is not safe in Atlanta. I'm not quite sure Gottlieb is safe anywhere, especially around a credit card. That is a 25-year-old joke. If you get it, I appreciate it. I mean, that's just my personal opinion from a fan standpoint. I think he will be a Brave soon. And it won't be like a Brian McCann 1 or 2 year retirement thing. I think he'll be a Brave for 3, maybe 4 years before his career ends.
Yeah, Prue, you seem to like that. Do you have any additional thoughts?
I really wish that I had something to add to that. I'm still processing everything that was just said, because although complex, I do understand the line of logic that you're following, and I could see it happening. I think it's worth looking into on your end, just like to see if that's kind of a logistical thing for your guys.
Yeah, because I mean, right now, the Dodgers are just rolling in money. So if they lose 200, no, scratch that. If they lose $100 million out of this, they can make that up from the Sportsnet deal. I'm pretty sure that's what what their TV contract is. They can make that up in 2 years. They'll be fine.
Yeah, easy.
All right. So we are going to transition quickly to hockey. A couple pieces of news. Not going to spend very long on most of them. Some coaching news in the NHL. Paul Maurice took some time off after being the Winnipeg coach, resigned in December, now is joining Florida. He replaces Andrew Brunet, who was the interim coach for the President's Trophy winning Panthers. Very interesting hire there. Jay Woodcroft was the interim coach in Edmonton. He signed a 3-year extension, will remain their coach. Barry Trotz turned down an offer from the Winnipeg Jets for their head coaching position, and he will take the year off from coaching. and Anthony's favorite coach, the guy who looks like he stands on milk cartons and has a punchable face, Pete DeBoer, will be the head coach of the Dallas Stars. Believed he signed either a 3 or 4 year deal, and will go coach the Stars after Rick Bowness left that team. Anyone have any thoughts on any of these coaches?
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you know, Andrew Burnett, I wish he had gotten the job. He's a former Thrasher. So, you know, keep as many of those guys in the league as possible. Woodcroft makes sense. You know, he got Edmonton into a really good position this year. So, yeah, it makes sense to take the interim tag off.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Burnett will land somewhere, even if it's not this year. There's a couple of positions still available. Winnipeg could be a spot for him, you know, stay with that Atlanta bloodline. Could go to there. It sounds like Boston is closing in on David Quinn possibly to be their head coach, so that might not be open. And then Detroit's still open, but they're interviewing Tampa assistants. That Stevie Y connection kind of makes sense. So Burnett, I am very confident, will get another head coaching job in the NHL, even if it's not this year or not until the start of the season when somebody inevitably loses their job. All right, moving on to the 2022 Hockey Hall of Fame class was announced. If Kara is still here in the comments, she'll really enjoy the fact that Henrik and Daniel Sedin from the Vancouver Canucks and Roberto Luongo were three of the players named to the Hall of Fame class for this year, along with Daniel Alfredson, the longtime captain of the Ottawa Senators, Riikka Salonen, who was one of the greatest Finnish women's hockey player of all time. She is, I believe, the first European-born female athlete to make it into the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is very, very awesome. And Herb Carnegie for the builder category. He was a trailblazer for black players to get into hockey in the Toronto area. So that's awesome to see he's getting a nod for the Hall of Fame as a builder. So congratulations to all of them on earning their spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He will be the ceremony, I think, is in the first week of November. So, you know, we'll see who's there. For 2023, Henrik Lundqvist is on the ballot for 2023. So I'm fairly confident he'll be going into the hall, and I will be going to Toronto in November 2023.
Do they just have to be out, what, 2 years?
3 years. They have to. Lundqvist technically is only out 2 years, but he didn't play that year, the COVID year, because of the heart condition. So he's technically out of the game 3 years.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
So
because baseball's five, I think.
Baseball's five. I think yeah. NFL's five as well. But like Gretzky got in like next year because it's like, why wait?
Yeah, exactly. There's certain players that it's like inevitable. So all right, and there was one trade that happened in the NHL this past week. Stanley Cup Finals just wrapped up on Sunday, and today the Kings and Wild didn't waste any time making a move. The Kings traded Brock Faber, defenseman from the University of Minnesota, and a 2022 first-round pick, 19th overall, to the Minnesota Wild for the RFA rights to forward Kevin Fiala. Kevin Fiala is a very, very talented young player. The Kings then managed to get him to sign a 7-year deal worth just under $8 million. I think the exact number is $7.9 a year. That's a great piece of business for the LA Kings to give up somebody who was so far down on their prospect depth chart because of their strength at the position, and a mid-round, first-round pick for that kind of player, and then lock him up for 7 years. That's incredible. Anthony and Jim, your teams will not have to face Kevin Fiala in the division anymore. It's still in the West. What are your thoughts on this trade, Anthony?
I mean, sure.
Bye.
Okay. Well, I personally really liked Kevin Fiala. I would not have been upset at all if the Rangers were able to make a run at him. I know they would have had to give up a lot, but I think he's a really talented player. And
they didn't, because he just got traded to the Kings.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. So
it was like 2 hours ago. I don't know if you know.
Yep. Thanks. So
tone change. No problem,
yeah. The Wild now have two first round picks in this draft. They have 19 and 24 or 26. So they're dealing with the buyout from Ryan Sutter and Zach Parise this coming year. It's going to be like, I think, $12 million dead cap hit. They're going to be working with like $70 million as opposed to $82 million because of those buyouts. So they needed to clear some money. Moving on to the last bit of news before our trivia question and our jersey conversation. The Golden State Warriors won the NBA Finals, beating the Boston Celtics, sorry, Prue, in six games.
Boring.
And the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup, as Jim mentioned, in six games, beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. This comment is now relevant. Cale Makar is really good at hockey. He won the Norris, the Conn Smythe, and the Stanley Cup all in one year. Former Hobey Baker winner for the best player in college. Guy's an absolute stud.
He didn't score a single goal against St. Louis in the playoffs.
Okay.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but still does not make St. Louis the second best team in the NHL. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the second best team in the NHL.
St. Louis scored 18 goals and Tampa only scored 15.
Yeah. I'll go with Anthony on that.
In the second round, as opposed to the Stanley Cup final, so they played two more rounds than you.
But they're the second best team in hockey because they won just as many games as anybody else did.
I'll give them this all day.
Tampa Bay only won two games. St. Louis only won two games. St. Louis scored more goals.
But St. Louis lost two rounds earlier, so I don't understand the logic.
Second best team in hockey.
Okay, I'm not going to win this battle, so I'm just going to move right along to our Infinity Gauntlet trivia question. So, are you all ready?
No,
absolutely not.
Okay.
Name every player who's ever played soccer, ever. Go. You have 12 seconds.
I was going to say all players, but one player, and that you can't name Messi, everyone else. But in the four major sports leagues, 11 teams do not have mascots. Can you name them?
No.
Wait, are you talking? Hold on.
Like, they do not have a, obviously they have a team name, but they do not have an official mascot.
They don't have an official mascot. Interesting.
In all,
there's 11 total between the four major sports.
How in the, do you think a normal Joe Schmo could answer this question?
It's not that difficult.
Do the Nationals?
The Nationals do have one.
Yeah, don't they have the weird president?
That's the president's race.
The Flyers have a mascot.
How many teams are there?
Rangers.
There is 11. The Rangers is one of them.
Bam!
The New York Rangers. The Celtics?
The Celtics have a mascot. They've got that leprechaun dude, Larry the leprechaun or whatever. Lenny the leprechaun. Lakers. The Lakers do not have a mascot.
Okay.
Nice.
The Knicks?
The Knicks do not have a mascot.
Oh, Jesus. In four?
The
76ers do. I don't know what it is, but they do.
The Detroit Tigers.
The Tigers have a mascot, and the description on Wikipedia for their mascot is a tiger-like figure with a jersey.
Does Mr. Met count? Because that's just a straight-up alien.
Mr. Met counts, so I'll give you, if you can get two more, I'll give you the other six.
Why do I feel like there's a ton of MLS teams that don't have a mascot?
MLS does not count. Is it one of the four?
Because they don't.
I'll tell you, there's one more in hockey, two more in basketball, and five in football.
Okay.
Detroit
Steelers,
Lions.
Steelers, Browns.
Steelers have a mascot. Browns have a mascot.
How do the Browns have a mascot?
They got that bulldog thing.
San Diego Chargers.
That is one of them.
Oh my
Technically
god!
Technically, the LA Chargers, but
they're the LA Chargers.
LA
now.
Chargers.
Yeah.
God.
Get one more. I'll give you the rest.
Team. Oh my
god. Wait. Hold on. Dallas Stars?
Dallas Stars have Victor E. Green, the alien dude. You said one of the New York basketball
teams.
New York Giants, and then the other New York basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets, do not. So you said the Rangers, the Knicks, the Lakers, the Giants, and the Chargers. Also, the Seattle Kraken, the Golden State Warriors, the New York Jets, the Washington Commanders, and the Green Bay Packers all do not have a mascot.
Kevin is screaming somewhere.
Yeah.
He's going to be, Kevin's going to be screaming at his phone. Packers! Packers!
Brian did get Warriors.
After you said it, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Perfect.
So I got all the points.
Okay.
Sounds great.
You got the points, second best team in the league. I have a Stanley Cup. So we're all.
Yeah. Good. I mean, look, we've all got our wins.
So what we are going to do now is the title of this episode. We are going to go through some of our favorite, the best jerseys in sports history. What we've done is we've each came with four jerseys, one from each of the leagues. And now one of them is missing from here. Which one is it? Okay. I know which one. We're going to put them up on the screen. And then we're going to each talk about the one we brought. Then we are going to rank them. We want you in the comments as well, for all those listening, to help us decide which of these four is your favorite, as well as tell us some of your other favorites that may not have been mentioned. So we are going to start in baseball. Here is the first round. We have the 1994 Seattle Mariners teal jersey, the 1970s St. Louis Cardinals powder blue jersey, the 2012 St. Louis Cardinals cream-colored jersey, and the 1998 Arizona Diamondbacks teal and purple and white jersey. So I'll take these down for a moment. We'll start with Anthony. Which one of these jerseys did you bring to the table?
I went with the Saturday home game Cardinals jersey. The St. Louis. It's still the birds on the bat, but they went a little different. Put St. Louis on there. It's just a good looking jersey. It's clean. Like the cream color looks fresh. I like the all white, you know, you're not going to beat it, but I wanted to mix things up a little bit. The only thing I wish they would have done with it is I wish they would have wrapped the L around the bat the way they did the S, but they don't pay me to critique a professional's job. So I actually have that Mariners jersey though.
Okay. I agree. That jersey looks really, really clean. Jim, which jersey did you bring to the table?
I brought the Mariners. Obviously I'm a Braves fan, but I think it's fact for that matter. King Griffey Jr. is one of the coolest baseball players who ever walked the face of this earth. And that jersey just makes him that much cooler. I appreciate the Marlins, like teal and black with the pinstripes, all that look from the 90s and all that, but the Mariners teal was on a different level. And that's definitely collecting jerseys. That's no, the not. One. I'm still waiting on my two from the 2021 Braves season. Until I get those, it'll be done. But yeah, that's one that I'm like, I desperately want at some point.
Yeah. I got the teal with the Hall of Fame patch. Because we went up the year that Griffey was inducted. So it's been hanging in my closet ever since. I will never wear it. I'm just waiting to frame it.
I don't think any other team has ever done teal in baseball.
Not that I
can. Not all teal like that.
Solid teal.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the only one that was ever done.
Yeah. It's a really sharp looking jersey.
Yeah.
All right, Prue, which jersey did you bring?
I brought the powder blue 70s, late 70s Cardinals away jerseys.
My man.
I grew up playing MLB 04 on the GameCube. And when I got randomly selected for the Cardinals team, I always chose this jersey. So I grew up loving it. Something about the Cardinals sort of insignia in that blue just worked for me. And yeah, powder blue is just a good color. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan. I had this on my short list. And then I had a couple other jerseys, so I was like, all right, I'm going to see what everyone else picks, and then I'll go from there. But so that's just – it's a really great-looking jersey. I love it. It's something about those jerseys that didn't have the button-ups on it that's just kind of the pullover.
It's a good look.
Really, really sharp. So then that leaves me. I brought the 1998 Arizona Diamondbacks jerseys. These are just really fun jerseys. Not many teams use purple in their team colors. You know, we've seen the Rockies use it primarily. The Raptors have used it. a little bit, but I don't think there's many other teams that have. The Kings used it for a while, but not many teams use purple as a primary color for the jersey. So when I saw these for the first time, you know, many years ago, like, they were really, really sharp looking, and the font on it, you know, with that kind of edgy desert kind of look, you know, really, really sold them for me. So, you know, the four of us, we're going to rank those jerseys. You cannot vote for your own, and everyone pick one other one that you really like, and we'll figure out which one of these is the best MLB jersey. So we'll start with you, Anthony.
Mariners.
Okay. Jim.
Diamondbacks.
Pro.
Mariners.
I am going with the powder blue jerseys. So the Mariners jersey takes it home for the best MLB jersey in this iteration of the best jerseys of all time. Just want to get to some of these comments quick. Maya telling her top three jerseys are the 98-99 purple Raptors Vince Carter era, 03-04 Denver Nuggets Carmelo era, and the powder blue UNC Michael Jordan college era. Those are some phenomenal jerseys, and we may even get some of those later in the show.
Yeah, that Raptors one, that was before the Nike contract, where they kind of uniformed everyone. So it's that, like, that giant Raptor on the front with, like, the kind of pinstripe look, and that one actually is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Thank you, Maya, for backing my Diamondbacks one. Brian, shut up. You're older than me.
I'm older than all y'all, so I don't know what the hell.
Joe saying grew up as if Pruitt wasn't playing it in 2018.
Yo, what up, Sauce?
Maya saying yes, powder blue. Brian professing his love for Joe. And Brian saying the Lakers. So we are going to go on to our NBA jerseys right here. Let me get rid of that comment real quick.
Who's the font? There you go.
So we have the 1997 Atlanta Hawks Big Hawk jersey. Take a guess who brought that one. The 1984 LA Clippers jersey. The 1990s era Vince Carter era Toronto Raptors jersey. And the 2020 Miami Heat City Edition jersey. We will start with Jim. Jim, which one of these jerseys did you bring?
Shockingly, the one with the Kimbe Mutombo. I love this look. Honestly, it's completely absurd. It's completely 90s. It's everything I love about 90s NBA basketball. And don't get me wrong, like I said earlier, the giant purple Raptor playing basketball. I can't believe that's an actual sentence. That's great. But the Big Hawk is probably one of the most sought after jerseys on the resale market. The pant, the shorts itself, kind of boring, but I prefer the white one over the home one over the away, because the away kind of had a gradient look, and I'm not a huge fan of the gradient look, especially with the current Atlanta Falcons uniforms. So yeah, that's the one I grew up really loving right there.
Yeah, that's one of the classic jerseys that you always see on these, like, throwback jersey websites, or just throwback jerseys you see people wearing all the time. So that's a really great look. Prue, which one of these did you bring to the table?
I brought the 84 LA Clippers jerseys. You can't see it super well in the photo there, but the type work on the front is just superb. As a graphic designer myself, it tickles my design brain, and I always love that. The back is also Heat. I love the red font, and also, like, that almost, like, Midwestern looking number.
Yeah. The Kansas basketball number.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's nice. A nice, good balance of good things happening on that jersey.
Yeah. A lot of these jerseys that were submitted, I have seen before. This was one I had never seen before. And I was like, damn, that is Heat. Like, that was a sick jersey. Like, I've never seen it before. And, you know, the short shorts, you know, really help that look get pulled together. So
what else do you need?
Exactly. Yep. So I'm going to go next. And for everyone shitting on the Miami,
absolutely getting shredded over it.
Listen, this jersey I love this jersey. It is not just this jersey specifically, but the entire, Miami Vice collection, where they had the white version with Miami Vice, the black version with Miami Vice, the all blue version, and then this. This, I saw someone wearing this last night at MSG when I was there, and I was like, damn, this is my NBA jersey I'm picking. And I was originally,
like, that jersey looks like our friend Juice tried to tie dye a basketball jersey.
I don't know.
He was probably high when he did it. But you're not wrong with like the Miami Vice collection, but I prefer the black and the blue ones. The white one's fine, but the black and the blue of the Miami Vice, those are the two that I like. And they clear the amalgam right now. Plus, Tyler Hero's kind of a douchebag. So there you go.
Fair. Yep. But this was the one that brought all of the elements together. It had the blue, the pink, a little bit of white, a little bit of black in it. Like it brought, this was the one that brought the most of the color schemes together. So I like this jersey. Sue me.
That jersey's so bad, Pitbull won't even acknowledge that he's from Miami anymore.
Oof.
I mean, at least you didn't pick the one where they picked different fonts for each different
that
letter and number.
That one was absolutely garbage.
Yeah,
that
Brian in the comments said it's even worse than the ransom note version this year.
Yeah, and the thing about that one is like each player literally designed their own combination of numbers and letters that they could use. So it's very unique. I'll give it that. It just looks terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. Brian saying a gender reveal for twins where there's one of each after Joe said Miami jersey looking like they came from a gender reveal. Jersey's awful. Jersey's getting all-star celebration. If Grand Theft Auto had a basketball team in the game. Thank you for that, Maya. That is an amazing comment.
Is that Vice City or Liberty City? Which one are we talking?
Probably Vice City.
1,000%.
Anthony, which jersey? Obviously, there's only one left. Did you bring and why?
Raptors. How could you not? It's got a raptor playing basketball.
Basketball.
And it's a raptor in a jersey on a jersey. I'm pretty sure Christopher Nolan designed that.
Raptorception.
Raptor in a jersey on a jersey. I do like that.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, come on. All the, you know, the current logo I'm not a huge fan of, with just like the Raptor tears through the basketball, even the old ones, which you know, just looks like a, you know, claw prints, but just the Raptors. And I even told, and Ryan asked me which color jersey, I said they're all great. It's just the logo itself is what did it for me.
Yeah.
So it can be the purple, the white, the whatever. It's just the Raptor.
Absolutely. Teasing.
It's a red Reptar.
Red Reptar. Maya coming with the gas comments here. This is incredible.
Ryan, do you even know what Reptar is?
Yes.
Before your time?
No, I know what Reptar is. From
Red Oh, you watched that weird animated reboot, didn't you?
That's no, I didn't. You grew up on. I absolutely would not.
You can toddler.
Shut the fuck up.
He's not that young.
Yeah, but they're significantly older. Like Anthony's like 46 and Jim's like 55.
I had Reptar cereal, so I know Ryan didn't have that.
No, they're not 55 and 46, just in case. All
54.
Right. So we
his
are
hair is 31.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
inches tall.
Yeah.
That too.
So we are gonna move on to the NFL right here in one moment. Here is the NFL jerseys we brought to the table. Pruitt, you go ahead first in this round. Which jersey did you bring to the table?
So I brought the 1996 San Francisco 49ers jersey. My dad grew up in the LA area and he always had one of these jerseys. And I always just thought it was crazy. It's got a gold outline around the big numbers in the front. And it's also just got some nice striping under the sleeves. Good balance of colors, good balance of design. Give me that San Francisco 49ers jersey from 1996. Boom.
Yeah. The gold really makes the numbers and all the accents of that jersey pop. Like if it was just a plain red jersey, maybe not so special. The gold really, you know, alludes to their heritage and makes it special.
It's so easy to go overboard with gold too. Just a little bit there made it a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. team that may have done a little bit too much with the color yellow, not so much gold. My pick, the 2016 LA Chargers color rush. This was a change from their current uniforms, all royal blue with that yellow color in there. It's definitely a change. I really like it. Like the colors contrast each other really nicely. And I don't know, I just, NFL doesn't have a lot of like great uniforms all time. So this is one that just stuck out to me that I really, really enjoyed. So I picked the Chargers color rush. That color rush thing was like a fever dream. Like that lasted for 2 years and then like it was gone. Just so many different iterations of the same jerseys over and over again, pretty much. So
yeah. I'm sure they thought it would have been unique, but turns out it kind of not that much.
No,
at all.
Yeah. So, Anthony, which one of these jerseys did you bring to the table?
So, as Brian commented, we didn't vote on the basketball jerseys.
Oh, crap. You're right. Let me go back to that. Sorry, Brian. Thanks for calling me out. See what happens when you're not here? All right. So, let's start with Jim. Which of these jerseys would you vote for without voting for your own?
Vinsanity all day.
Yep. Pro.
I'm going for the Hawks.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going with the Raptors as well. Anthony.
He seems hesitant.
Well, I don't want there to be a tie. I was going to go with the Hawks, but
if it goes to a tie, we send it to the comments.
All right. There's a tie. I go with the Hawks.
All right. So everyone in the comments, please vote on which one of those you like better, the Hawks or the Raptors jerseys.
Well, Maya has already claimed her a love for the Raptors. So Raptors, yeah.
And Brian said it is the Dirty Brian Birds. I'm assuming that means for the Hawks. Oh, no, he says Raptors. Okay. So I think we need one more vote to clinch it for the Raptors. Whoever is still in the comments, one more vote will clinch it for that jersey. And while we wait for that, we're going to go back to the NFL. Anthony, which jersey did you bring?
Raptors one, by the way. Went with the neon green Seahawks. So I cannot believe Kara is still in the comments and listening, but she apparently is not a huge fan of the action green. But I love lime green, always have. And when I was looking at football jerseys, as boring as they are, I saw that one and had to go with it.
Yeah, that jersey was something, again, color rush was something special. Mm-hmm. All lime green jerseys looking like, an electric ice pop. Just unbelievable.
That wasn't even the first time they wore those. They wore those back in the Reebok era. So that wasn't some fever dream someone had one night. That's definitely precedent to have that color. But the highlighter, if you will.
So we have... obviously we said the Raptors won. Just wanted to point out this comment. Joe, thank you. Thank you for saying you would vote Miami if you could, because those jerseys are absolute flames. I know we've talked about this before.
Thing is, he could vote for it, but he didn't his comment right before is Raptors.
Raptors, yeah.
Right, but he couldn't vote for it because it wasn't in the final, you donkey.
I mean, he's still... whatever.
What?
Anyway, yeah, so the lime green, it looks like Brian O'Connor's car from the original Fast and Furious, too.
R.I.P.
Jim, your pick.
It's
obvious. Yes.
It's obvious.
I wonder which one it is.
I wonder which one. No, I mean, like, these are the era of the Falcons that I grew up watching, the Dirty Bird. And, even though we're only talking about the jerseys, I still like the silver pants that go with them. I also wanted to bring it up for two reasons. A, to point out Anthony's comment earlier in the week, how boring the NFL is. I present exhibit A with that one, but it's also a nod to what the NFL is doing this year. I think it's this year with them bringing back their two shell rule to where you can have multiple combinations of not just jerseys, but helmets. So we're going to see at least in the next 2 years, the Eagles, Kelly Green, the creamsicles from the Bucks. The Falcons have already said, yeah, we're breaking out the Dirty Birds versus probably the Saints because they can go to hell. I don't like the Saints. So yeah, like that's just what I grew up. I think it's a classic look. Don't really like what they did. I mean, I really don't like what they did now. I kind of wish they kind of stayed or just altered the Matt Ryan era uniforms, but hey, what are you going to do?
Fair enough. So I'm going to pull these jerseys back up so we could vote on them. Starting with you, Prue, which one of these, not your own, would you vote for?
I'm going to go to the Falcons. Very clean, very classic.
Okay. I'm going with the 49ers. I really like the gold and the big numbers, like bigger than most of the other jerseys. So I'm going 49ers. Anthony?
I'm going with the Chargers.
Wow. Okay. And Jim?
I'm going Chargers.
All right.
There you go.
So Chargers take it home for the NFL. So we have the Mariners, the Chargers, and the Raptors, all with a one win. Moving on to our last sport, the NHL. Here are our jerseys.
Jim. If you can't tell, there's the theme.
Yeah, the theme is ugly jerseys.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly whose was whose in this too.
So I'm going to start on this one. I picked the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. This has always been a favorite of mine before they went to Adidas. When they had it with Jeremy Roenick and Keith Kachuk era, they were super awesome jerseys. Everything from the logo to the striping, that like cactusy looking striping, absolutely unbelievable. And then they brought them back and they cleaned them up and they made them even better. And they're the only good thing about that Coyotes franchise right now. And they brought back the white version. These are just super unbelievable jerseys.
Care is not a fan of our picks, by the way, but we'll address that later.
It's fine. It's fine. Anthony, which one of these is yours?
2008 New Jersey Devils.
Why?
I absolutely love that jersey. I've always loved the logo. It's gorgeous. I mean, Martin Brodeur, best player ever. Played on the Blues, second best team in the NHL in 2022. Anyway,
Maya, you're not wrong.
The Falcons look like they are copying the Browns. Yeah, absolutely. There was a vote for the 49ers in the last one. Chargers got a vote. Thank you, Maya.
Yep, it's the Devils for me. So,
yeah, my first hockey jersey was a Devils jersey, actually, because I thought it would have been funny to wear something with Devils on it, considering my mom is a United Methodist minister.
That's acting out, Jim.
Hilarious. Maya saying she wishes the Minnesota Wild were on here. Which one of your jerseys is the favorite of yours, Maya? I want to know which one, and we will be sure to share that. Jim, you're up. Which one of these is yours? We know which one.
For the audio, for people listening, I'm looking at a picture, and kudos to you for finding this. A picture of Chris Chelios in Atlanta Thrashers jersey.
It's something else. The only reason I know that this picture exists is because I'm pretty sure it's from MSG, because the one game he played, like MSG Networks, because I'm pretty sure the one game he played with the Thrashers was against the Rangers. So,
yeah, right. I loved this look because it definitely was something that the rest of the NHL wasn't doing. You know, you had the typical crest on the front, but down the left side, I believe, was just spelled out Atlanta. And the designer of that, I'm pretty sure they went to like a fashion designer or something like that to make these. And that's also around the time of the Believe in Blue Land campaign. And that was huge. And soon after that, we won a division. And then the rest of time seemed to have forgot about us. But I love that. I do love all the other, well, rephrase that. There's a third jersey they brought into a fold a few years ago before they left. It was just the word mark with a number underneath. It looked like a basketball jersey. It was just weird. But the Believe in Blue Lands, that's my favorite hockey jersey.
It is a slick jersey. Like,
yeah.
To be honest, there could have been a lot worse with some of the other jerseys they've had. So
no, you're absolutely not wrong. And really quick on the Coyotes, I cannot stand the franchise, but you're right. That's one of the cleanest not the Adidas era, but like you're right, the Jeremy Roenick era. Like that's one of the cleanest ones I've seen. I actively hate them, but it's weird feelings toward it because I'm like, you have something so beautiful, but you're a complete dumpster fire of a franchise, and I'm convinced you have compromised information on Gary Bettman.
That's also very, very possible. We're not going to get into that, but that guy's a loser, Gary Bettman. And Prue, which one of these jerseys did you bring? The last one left.
I brought the 2010 Bruins Winter Classic jerseys. A couple of different things happening here that just make me love this one. The yellow and the black are both different shades than the Bruins are typically using on their jerseys. The black's a few shades lighter. It's kind of pushing more towards a brown. And the yellow just has like a very specific saturation to it. I don't know what it is. Just really love it. I also love the use of just a almost freehand B on the center of the logo. I think it just takes it far outside of what you typically expect out of a jersey. And I love it.
Yeah, it is one of the, because sometimes these teams get really, really bad when they do alternate stadium series or winter classic jerseys. Yeah. And this is one of the best looking ones. I mean, I could think of, again, no offense, Brian or Jim, but the Avalanche stadium series jersey from 2 years ago, where it just literally looks, I don't even know what it is. It's like shapes and colors. It's not even a design. And then they played the Kings, who you can't even read it because the words are going too fast. It's like, what the hell is happening? So, you know, sometimes these teams really screw up their
Blues have had two really good.
Yeah, because they went back to the past and just made them modern. They brought back the cream color one and the light, the powder blue one. St. Louis and powder blue just goes together really well. Something about
that. And I do like the reverse retro and the one it's based off of.
Yeah.
Oh, the Wayne Gretzky era.
St. Louis, the Gretzky era. Yeah, the Gretzky 6 months in town era.
God, you like the reverse retro, the all red?
No, I like it, but I prefer the original.
Just
the one it's based off.
My wife has one of those. She loves.
That's the same thing, like with the Capitals, the Screaming Eagle jersey in blue or white is phenomenal. In red, absolute garbage. So
I remember playing NHL hits, and I was the Capitals all the time with Peter Bondra.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. I'll play that forever.
Pruitt, you were saying something? I'm sorry.
Oh, don't the Rangers also have a pretty incredible Winter Classic jersey with like the text across it, if I'm recalling correctly?
Yeah, they have the 2018 Winter Classic where it's like a really dark blue, like a navy blue, and it says Rangers across the front. It's got the little patch here with the logo that says New York.
Also sick.
Yeah, that was cool. I like the Lady Liberty ones, honestly. Mm-hmm. I thought that
would be too.
I thought that would have been a too obvious choice to bring, especially since the new iteration they did for the reverse retro. Loved them, but they weren't the same. They didn't hit the same as the original one. Yeah. And I don't like the CCM jerseys. So I didn't really want to bring any of those.
Is that the one where they had the tie here? What was the one about the CCMs?
The CCM. So the new ones is pretty much all blue. It has like one tiny red stripe in the elbow and that's it.
Yeah.
The CCM ones have all red from the elbow to the hand.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
The more silver in it. So Lady Liberty jerseys are dope, but didn't particularly care for the CCM, and the reverse retro was too on the nose. So we are going to bring up these jerseys. We are going to vote for one that is not yours. Anthony, starting with me, because I went first on this one. I'm taking the Bruins. I really love that jersey. So. Anthony.
Coyotes.
Jim.
Devils.
Prue.
Rounded it out with Coyotes.
All right. So Coyotes get another win here. Probably one of two that they'll get on anything this year.
Over how many times will they sell out that 5,000 seat arena?
maybe once.
Six
on
times.
Opening night.
Yeah.
Three of them are going to be college night.
Maya brings up a good point that the Kachina jersey is the hockey version of the Raptors jersey. It does kind of give off similar vibes. Maya says she hates the Steelers. Coyotes jersey is cool looking. And
so Maya, I hate the Bruins one.
Maya hates the Bruins one. Sorry, but I really like it. Okay. So that is our jersey debate. We will be back at some point with the worst jerseys of all time. We'll probably do another iteration of the best jerseys of all time. But, you know, been some tough stuff in our personal lives and in the world. So we wanted to be positive, not go with the negative of the worst things. So we have one final segment. We have our Bruce Banner's bandwagon. We're each going to give a bandwagon. We're jumping off and on and off this week before we wrap up the show. So, Anthony, we're going to start with you.
All right, I'm jumping on the John Boy Media bandwagon. After watching that breakdown that he did of the Angels-Mariners brawl, the dude puts in work, and he's funny. And, you know, the fact that he can get these guys and multiple camera angles, and he talks about in the most recent viewing that he gets video from a different YouTube channel, like different angles and everything. So he puts a lot of work into it. bandwagon I'm jumping off is the Kale McCarr bandwagon. Actually, no, I take that back. I'm jumping off the bandwagon of the doucher that dropped the cup. I don't know who it was.
Abe Kubel.
Kubel.
Yep, I'm off his bandwagon. He's an idiot. Yeah.
I saw a tweet that was like this. I mean, you might have even said it earlier in the show. I can't remember that far back. That the St. Louis Blues were the last team not to drop the cup and break it.
Yep.
So shout out those guys. Jim, go ahead with your bandwagons.
The bandwagon I am jumping off is, who cares if, Tommy Pham is an idiot? I don't. maybe Jock Peterson is cool. Maybe you just don't like nice people who wear pearls. So you need to stop complaining. the one I'm jumping on is, as I've said later in the show, it might take 3 years, but Freddie Freeman should be a Brave yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting that campaign right now. Come home, buddy.
This is a fun campaign.
Let's get it. I just want to see chaos. Looking at trades, breaking down trades, breaking the trade news to people is one of my favorite things in the world. So
there should also be more sunflower seed throwing in Major League Baseball games.
So much. Full cases. Jim, I have a question. What was the reception of Freeman leaving Atlanta? Were people burning his jersey? Were they throwing him away? Were they mad? Were they happy for him?
It wasn't as bad as LeBron leaving Cleveland. There should be barometers. That's the what the hell are you doing? I'd say it was calmer than that. I think a lot of people knew that the writing was on the wall. Well, for what we thought was the wall at the time. Now the wall is completely demolished and we're like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? But a lot of there were people like, I'm going to boo Freddie Freeman or whatever. Cause every sports fan team has that. Every single fandom has that. You have the idiots who like, Here's my $80 Majestic replica jersey. I'm going to burn it. Well, they already got your money, so it doesn't matter what you do. you had the people. I heard people like, I'm going to boo Freddie Freeman. I'm like, okay, fine. Granted, it was kind of in the minority, but they were there. I think now with everything that has come to light, I think it is now not necessarily sympathy, but they're like, oh, he got jobbed hard. Because there's also the rumors or we won't call it speculation that him and Ronald didn't get along. Mm-hmm. Yes, my the decision. When Acuna went to first base, I want to say in the Dodgers series, there were just hugs and acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Hey, good to see you. So yeah, right now I think I'm one of them, and there are Braves fans who think, yeah, like it's not going to be like a retirement tour, like a one-off thing with Brian McCann. He's like, I'll come back, I'll retire Brave. No, I legitimately think he will play multiple years in a Braves uniform going forward. Yeah, he might be 98 years old, Brian, but he will. I think that will still happen.
I'm just curious because after Albert left, he had a restaurant. I mean, he was here for 12 years. He had a restaurant. He had statues. There were people. They had to set up security around the statue because people were vandalizing it.
Wow.
And people, just ditching his jersey. And he didn't come back to St. Louis for 9 years.
Yeah.
9 years. I mean, 9 or 10 years. No, it was 9 years because he was with L.A. or the Angels, and then he came back again with the Dodgers. And now, I mean, even with the Dodgers, he was getting standing ovations. So I'm curious what would have happened had he come back a year later. And this was, I mean, same deal, fresh after we won the World Series.
What year was that exactly?
He left after the 2011 World Series.
Okay, so you can make an argument social media hadn't achieved what it has today, or at least last offseason. So I think a lot of people are more aware of the inner workings of how the contract negotiation was going on. And plus, you know, I don't want to say smart, I don't want to say smart Brave fans, but you know, if you're a Braves fan, you should probably know by now that Alex Anthopoulos does not tip anything. If anyone, you know, because there's like a span of like 24 hours after Freeman's like, oh, we're going to sign Kenley Jansen. No one knew anything about that. So I think right now, I mean, still talking about this, in my opinion, the Braves have all the leverage in the world. Honestly, it's like, we moved on. If you want to, if you want to make a deal, we'll do it. But we've moved on officially, unofficially in the back room. I don't know, but you know, the status quo, you know, the public face is we've moved on. We're happy for you.
Awesome. Just want to call out a comment here quick. Joe, you says that they're working with Yes Network now too. You're referring to John Boy, right? Like the Yes Network.
Yeah.
That okay?
They have great offices in New York.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome that, you know, media company that pretty much started what making social media and YouTube clips is now working with one of the biggest New York sports broadcasters. That's awesome. Pruitt, your bandwagons, which ones are you jumping on and off?
So the bandwagon I am jumping on is the Celtics 2023 season run bandwagon. I think there were a lot of foundational pieces laid this season with new coach coming in, new playing style coming in. I think the roster we're working with right now has potential to make another run next year. We'll certainly see what the offseason holds for the team. Certainly a chance they will offload some guys, certainly some new blood to come on. But I could see, I'm excited to see what happens from here. I think the Celtics have needed something to happen for them for a little bit now. And we certainly might be finding that. In terms of bandwagons, I'm jumping off of the Boston Red Sox City Connect jerseys. Need to never enter my eyes ever again.
those yellow ones, and blue, right?
Yes, they took the Boston Marathon colors and then turned it into a baseball jersey. I don't know why they would take a different sport and somehow try and integrate the team colors into a different sport. I just don't understand why. I don't understand how the colors don't look good together. They're not fun to look at, and you don't match anyone else in the stadium when you're wearing one. So it's just irritating and they don't work.
I think the Braves were leaked a few months ago unofficially, like, because when Ted Turner bought the team, we were wearing white with blue pinstripes. So the City Connect ones, if what I think they are, it's white, blue pinstripes, and just like Atlanta and then Braves right here. No sort of like traditional script or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, it's fine if that's what it is. I would prefer something like a script similar. I mean, I totally expect them to not have the tomahawk on it because reasons, but obvious reasons in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, if that's what we're going to wear, I wouldn't mind seeing it. You know, I'm more interested in seeing what the hat would look like.
Yeah, I think that there's such a unique opportunity in that situation for these jerseys to really define something in your team, really define something in your fan base. And I think that far too often we're seeing these opportunities fumbled.
Absolutely.
The Marlins one are absolutely fantastic. Like the history behind the Cuban Sugar Kings and Miami, baseball, not just in Miami, but the Cuban connection to that. Like they're so fantastic.
And I think more so I'm looking at like outside of the MLB, when you branch into like the NBA and whatnot, some of the the city specific jerseys just like really fall off a cliff.
I mean, you're not wrong, but Memphis had one of the ones a few years ago it was just Memphis. They were white, but they were based off the "I am a man" sign and all those during the civil rights movement. Those are great. The Hawks had their MLK jerseys, which they wore in the playoffs, and those are just beautiful.
Yeah,
those just need to be a staple. Period. Like I don't care what year it is, keep wearing those.
Yeah, honestly,
I feel like there's. such a big divide on these jerseys. Either they're freaking fantastic and like the best thing to ever, you know, grace my eyeballs, or they are so bad and I wish they never even like touched my eyeballs.
Never.
And there's no like average City
Edition. There's no jersey in between. It's yeah. Dumpster fire.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. The bandwagon I am jumping on really quickly is trades. NBA and NHL right now are in the off season. Give me more trades. I live for trades. It makes my day when I get to come home after work or just after work, log on to my Xbox and get to manually make these trades because the downloadable roster isn't out yet. And I just love following trades. Like, it's my favorite thing. I have every insider pretty much known to us. On push notifications on my phone. So just give me all the trades. I love trades. And the bandwagon I'm jumping off is Anthony. I don't like that he thinks that the St. Louis Blues are the second best team in the NHL. No, it's cool. Not actually.
Stats.
It's proof. You just jumped off you as a concept, bro. What are you going to do about that?
That's fine. My wife isn't even on me as a concept, so
there you go.
It's fine.
Cool. I don't know that I have anything that I'm out on.
Can you be out on that Smashville license plate above that door frame?
Yeah, sure. We'll say I'm out on the Predators. Yeah.
Okay. If Jimmy Haslam and Bill Haslam, if they buy the Predators, they will completely tank the franchise. And I'm actively rooting for that.
Jim, yeah, we know how much you don't like the Predators.
Oh, don't cold call Thrasher season ticket holders like 2 weeks after the team leaves. The body's not even cold yet.
Jeez. All right. Well, this was a fun episode that, as per usual, has gone off the rails on several occasions. You know, thank you all so much for joining us. We're going to go around here really quickly and see if anyone has anything they want to plug. Anthony, starting with you.
I got nothing.
All right, Jim.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Scroggs, on Instagram at JH Scroggs. Turn the lights off. Carry me home.
Yep. Congratulations on that. Prue, anything you want to plug?
Not at the moment, but thanks for having me on the podcast. I had a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so glad you joined this. We had been planning for you to join us for this one for a while, and it got pushed back various times for various reasons, but we have made it happen. And it's nice to not hear just a bunch of idiots blabbering about, huh, I like that color. So someone with a graphic design background actually talking about these jerseys was like super interesting. So thank you so much for joining us, and we're sure you'll be back at some point. Definitely when we do our worst jersey episode.
Oh, I'm there.
So I just want to plug the Nerd Life Network. Sundays are Babu's freaking podcast with Brian. They've been doing Obi-Wan Kenobi episode wrap-ups or reviews, excuse me.
Great last episode for the finale. Great. I just listened this morning. Really good insight. A lot of stuff that, you know, I consider myself a Star Wars fan, but those guys are legit Star Wars fans. And I mean, it's just cool to listen to them geek out about, you know, what they love. And three good guys over there.
Yeah. So that's on Sundays. When we get more Star Wars content, I'm sure they'll be on more regularly. They may have some other things here and there. And then Monday, Brian has Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. Right now, we're in the middle of Miss Marvel. So we've been doing reviews for that. He will have his episode 4 review out on Monday with, I'm sure, a few guests. And then Tuesdays are Comics and Cinema with Alex Klein. I think I'm not sure exactly what's coming up this week, but I would imagine that it's something with Thor in preparation for the Thor movie, maybe a Thor Love and Thunder preview.
Yeah, I believe Alex and then our friend Kevin are going to be deep diving into the comics,
okay,
prepping for Thor Love and Thunder.
Awesome. Wednesday is Agents of Field. Sometimes we will be live. Sometimes we will be in podcast form. If we are in podcast form, you'll get that Thursday morning. If we're live, you'll get it at 8:30 on Wednesdays. And Thursdays are for the Nerdy Girls After Dark. You can join Maya, Sarah, Jalen, and Kara on Thursday nights. Tomorrow they will be doing an episode on the Friend Zone. Last week they did a spicy MCU topics. It was a phenomenal episode, a lot of fun. sure tomorrow's will be just as entertaining, but make sure to give all those shows a listen and follow us on social, on Instagram, Agents of Field Podcast, and on Twitter at Podcast AOF. So for myself and the other agents, we will see you next week at the tennis courts.
I hate you.